Cheers. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Planners Under the Influence. I'm Heather.
And I'm Diego.
And we're pretty excited to share this one with you guys.
Yeah, welcome to a new episode. We had the chance to be inside the offices of a planning studio. First time for me.
Me too. It was very exciting.
It was really nice. It was a little bit hectic for a Friday afternoon. We were not expecting that, but it was just...
It was so much fun.
It was just great to be part of it.
Really. Yeah. We had the chance to sit down with Nicholas Smith, who's the founder of Niche Planning Studio, mm-hmm. and with Kim Delbridge, who is the urban designer there. And I mean, before we even started recording, the whole team kind of came and welcomed us, and we had snacks and discussions, and it was just so much fun.
Not just snacks. We were treated with fine cheese.
Fine cheese, yeah, that's right. And breads and dips. Oh, exactly. Delicious.
It was really good. It was just amazing to just sit down with all the team, mm-hmm. and get to know everyone. Everyone is just as friendly as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And
it got us excited about a career potentially working in planning.
Just want to please.
Let's just jump right in and get to the conversation.
Let's get to it. So, first of all, I think, welcome. This is Planners Under the Influence. We are here at the offices of Niche Planning, that's how you say it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for having us, really. We are here with Nicola, right?
Yep.
And?
Kim.
Kim, yeah. And, of course, Heather.
We've just had a delicious snack and some drinks, so we're ready to go.
An amazing tasting platter. That was pretty good.
Were saying earlier we've never been treated this.
If this is how Planners offices are, we want to start working tomorrow.
Well, this so is cute. Actually both of our first time in a planning office.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I hope I've set the bar not too high, though.
It's
way too high right now.
No, some of the places in Melbourne, I won't name particular firms, but some of the amazing other planning consulting firms, they have really cool spaces. They're mm-hmm. a bit bigger, but they still have really good vibes.
Well, you'd think they should, given the expertise in the room. There should be some awareness of how our environment impacts us. And
yeah.
We still, though, this space, it's so cool. It feels like a yoga studio.
Mm, it totally does.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like a hot flow is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, wow, this is really hot in here.
But these windows here, it's an old Gothic building, and it's been renovated by Neo Metro, who are these architects. And so there's two residences upstairs, there's an architect's firm underneath, and then there's the cafe on the corner.
Right.
Yep. So it's truly uniquely mixed use.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That's very cool.
That's actually a good point. And maybe getting into that, we want to ask, how niche planning, what were the
how
origins?
Involved. Yeah, right.
And how do you guys ended up here? Because we have urban planning.
Yeah.
Communications, which is we want to talk about communications.
Yeah, okay.
Too.
Yep.
And we have an urban designer, which is...
Yep. Well, maybe that's a good story. So Niche started 7 years ago, mm-hmm. almost, I think our anniversary was a couple of weeks ago, so 7 years ago. And it started because I'd moved from Perth to Melbourne,
mm-hmm.
and I'd been working for a planning firm, or a couple of planning firms, but predominantly one in Perth for 7 or 8 years, amazing firm. Moved to Melbourne, did land development, really enjoyed it, but didn't want to be a developer.
Right.
Helped a woman sort of start up a business. She was from Tassie, and I helped her start up a Melbourne business here, so that was cool too. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do my own thing. Mm-hmm. And I think you have that space when you move interstate because there's not really any judgment.
Yeah, there's an opportunity there.
Yeah, both of you, coming from different places.
Yeah, I don't think, I'm shameless.
Yeah.
And with the podcast, I guess this is it. I don't care.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm exactly the same. So I was like, okay, I'll just try this. What's the worst that can happen? If it doesn't work, I'll become a florist or I'll go back to Perth or, whatever. It'll be fine. So, it was really crazy. So I went away for a weekend. All my friends went skiing. I'm not a very good skier, so I sat at the bottom doing some really amazing après skiing with someone. And
that's my favorite.
Yeah, yeah. And I bought like a pad and some texters, and I just drew up ideas
for
Niche. Yeah, and I only had a blue texter, which is why Niche is blue.
Right.
Yeah, and I was just coming up with different ideas, but I couldn't think of a name, and like it's quite funny because people go, oh, right, so your first name is actually kind of in the word Niche, which obviously it is, but people don't think about it. Yeah. So I was like, I didn't want it to be like Nicholas Smith and Associates because that's so self-absorbed. And all I thought it was anyway.
Yeah, yeah, like a law firm. Yeah,
totally. And then I was trying to find something that had my initials, like N and S in it. And I was like, I know, Insight. But then like one of my really good mates, he has a planning firm in Victoria called Insight Planning. So I was like, okay, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
And so then I just played with the N and the S, and I thought Studio was cool.
Yeah. Studio is very cool.
Studio is cool because Studio.
It gives like the design.
It gives the design.
You were thought from the beginning.
Did you think when you came for an interview that that was good, that it was like Studio and that meant design? Or did you were just like, I just would like an urban design job?
I don't know. On your business card, it's all words, right? There's no graphics.
Oh, good point. Oh, that's something to take away.
I think Studio to me says collaborative and creative. There's something really fun about that. It instills something kind of exciting.
Super minimal, though. Like it's I have a completely different idea, but it's the same. I think about more like a design.
Yeah. Okay. And I think for me it was, God, am I going to be able to do a business on my own? If I call it Studio, I can just get all my friends to come and help me. So that was the Studio bit. And then I was going to call it, and I should have done, called it Planning and Design, but it was getting too big.
Right.
And for me, planning, like a good town planner, can do design.
Right.
And so, like, Kim and I have had often conversations around this. But so that's why the planning studio happened. And then I was, talking to my mum and my brother, and they came up with Niche because of it is Niche.
Mm.
Like, yes, I have a communications degree as well. So that was, like, a little bit unique.
Yeah.
And it had my name in it. And then the N and the S because of the studio.
Yeah. Oh, true. Yeah. Perfect.
So it all kind of worked.
Yeah.
So, you know,
now 7 years from there.
Yeah, well, it's funny because we've talked, like, I now have a new business partner, Celia, who's in Mongolia on a horse apparently right now. But anyway, and so she was like, shall we rebrand, like, we don't want to lose the name, but, you know, like, things like Kim saying, interesting that it doesn't have graphics on the business card is something, because, like, even friends of mine who work in development who've known me for years, one of them called me up the other day, and we're doing work for him, big company, and he said, hey, do you do like subdivision design and structure plans? And I'm like, yes, that's like my bread and butter. Yeah, that's it. And he was like, oh my God, yeah, someone said you did, and I didn't think you did. Oh, well, can you help us with this job?
Right.
Yeah, so obviously that's not getting conveyed, so there's got to be some tweak, and whether it is planning and design or... I don't know.
Well, it is, and like, one of the things that we wanted to ask you about was your background in communications, which obviously plays out on like the business side of things, but more so like the role of communications in planning. And like, we're doing a course right now, we're doing planning theory, and one of the things we've talked about in the last couple of weeks is like the role of communication in planning and how that plays out in public consultation and participation and bringing ideas together. And I have a bit of a background in communication as well. So, I'm curious how you view that, or, like, why you pursued the communications degree with your sort of planning background.
So it's cool. So the company I really liked working for in Perth, to be honest, I've kind of modelled Niche on it. It's a company called CLE. And CLE, or Chapels, they had three guys, and then I was the first employed other than them, and then they employed a friend of mine. And the two of us were chalking cheese. And she is like details oriented and very driven and an amazing woman, awesome. But her and I always sort of were able to distinguish that I was probably quite good at more the kind of people stuff and the comms stuff, and she was quite good at the business stuff.
Right.
And if I'd stayed in Perth, that probably would have worked really well. So anyway, she'd just finished an MBA, and I thought, I don't really want to do an MBA. What could I do that was unique to me? And so that's when I decided to do the Masters of Comms.
Right.
And it was so cool. Like, it was, you know, creative writing, which I just thought, I remember the first class, I went home and I bought a bottle of red wine and I was like, oh my God, they want me to come up with a new concept at the end of 12 weeks. What am I going to do? But of course, over the 12 weeks, you learn all these different ways to think, and it was just spectacular. So,
oh, that sounds so fun.
It was the best degree to do as like an add-on to planning. But the weird thing I found, and I've said this to a lot of my staff, I find a lot of my staff when they get to 30, give or take, go through a bit of a midlife crisis.
Right.
And go, oh, I don't know if I want to be a planner anymore, and what am I doing? And I think planning is the best degree because it cuts across a variety of different areas, right?
Yeah.
So you've been doing all these different things, comms and design and lots of different areas. And if you then get to a point in your career where you've constantly been working in, say, structure planning or something, well, you just kind of adapt what you've been doing and you go and then work in a different area. So you go and do like...
engineering and transfer.
Totally. Yeah, heaps of them.
It's really, but
and that's what I did.
That's but comforting.
But one question: do you think people get into the, like the midlife crisis in planning, like at the 30s?
Yeah.
Because of planning, and maybe it relates to one question that we had. Like, I mean, are we doing the things right? Are we doing the things wrong?
So I think as planners, you come out into your profession, and you're a grad, and you probably get like small little things to do. So you do shed approvals, or you're lucky and you might do a permit for like a 3-story apartment, or, you know, whatever. And you sort of work through that. Even like our grad planner is working on the activity center structure plan with us, which is amazing. And he is stoked. But even then, it's not like he's flying to Perth with us.
Right.
He's doing the background research and doing all that stuff. But he can see that if he does this, then the next step will be.
He can see what comes from it.
But I think the thing with planning is that, and this is a personal opinion, but I find the strategic stuff quite engaging and I feel like I'm changing the world, you know, you're having an impact. So a council says Main Street needs fixing. We do a precinct plan for it and we can help guide it. And, you know, we're doing stuff around heritage buildings and how you get the pedestrians working. And like, it's the coolest job. That's amazing. But if I was just doing the planning permit the whole time in that activity center zone, I'd feel like I was impacting each little site, and that's awesome. And again, this is totally a personal opinion because others love doing stat planning. but yeah, like I think if you do, maybe the thing is if you do the same thing over and over and over again, you get to a point where you just go, I know how to do this with my eyes closed. And maybe that's why I did I became a development manager, because I did that when I was 30.
Right.
You know, so I'd done structure plans forever. And I knew how to do it. That's big scale impacting stuff. And I was like, well, I sort of know how to do this.
Makes a lot of sense. Because, well, like, another reason that we started the podcast is because we have no idea what we want to do. Graduation's getting closer and closer and closer.
More lost than, the time that I came here. But.
Yeah, I don't think the podcast is helping us focus. but there is, I mean, the other course we're taking right now is stat planning. And it's... on the one hand, super interesting and valuable to understand how that all works, because that's how implementation happens.
Yeah, very
and so
much.
It's like everything. But then the idea of spending the rest of a career assessing permit applications just feels boring. So like understanding how that interlinks with everything is so valuable. But
it's so interesting, because one of the girls in my office is working right now in regional Victoria doing stat planning. And she is absolutely loving it, but she also absolutely loves doing the structure planning level as well. So I think it's just the ability to have variety in your work. And I think if you lose the ability to have variety, God, that's the same as what we were talking about on the plane the other day.
Yeah.
Like, or in the bar, actually in the bar. We were talking about like, so Kim's an urban designer. It's his first urban design role. As far as I can ascertain, he's absolutely loving it. But you get like heaps of variety in your role right now, which is brill. But we were saying in the bar the other night, if Kim just started one of two things, either doing the same thing day in, day out, or he's trying to find the thing out of all these different ones that we throw at him that he really loves. If he never finds that, one or the other, then is that going to really fulfill him? Maybe not.
Well, it is, like, maybe you can answer this, but as an outsider, I mean, I've done one urban design course and I loved it. I learned how to draw again, which was super fascinating, but it doesn't come to me naturally. it feels from an outsider's perspective that urban designers get to like go to the good stuff right away.
I'd say it's a little bit that, and a little bit not that as well.
Yeah.
I feel like it's either like you go full steam ahead or you like have no clue what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that in my kind of point in life, it's just about finding out things that you don't like.
Yeah.
And then just giving a shot to everything else. And if you always say yes, then like you haven't lost anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's, yeah.
That's pretty, really good advice.
And we have quite a good working relationship because it's good, like Kim will push back on me if he thinks that a particular process could be done a different way or a better way. And then we'll talk it out. Like, you know, I might have however many years that is, 20 years experience. That can't be right. How old am I? That can't be right. It is. So like, yeah, but just because I've got those number of years experience, sometimes I overlook things or I think I forget things that, you know, we might have done before that have really worked. And then he brings it up and goes, oh, couldn't we try it this way? And I'm like, oh, that's right. That will work. So it's been quite cool because he doesn't just sit there and just go, yep, I'll just do it. He does like
challenge. And it comes back to that collaborative.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a different view from a different perspective from the same problem. And, you know, we can just solve it this in a different way.
It's interesting. Your team is quite young.
Yeah.
And one of the...
including the boss.
Everyone's young here. but another thing that has come up in our stat planning class is about how with experience you learn how to do things. So there's been frustrating conversations where I've been like, oh, like how do you make this judgment? And the answer is like, oh, well, with experience, you know, you figure out how. It's like, well,
you can
I don't have that. So
yeah,
how do I
yeah.
But I think, yeah, it's interesting.
I reckon stat planning is the one, I think, that's the one area where that doesn't apply. Because
right.
Stat planning is so black and white.
Mm.
So the reason I'm not particularly an awesome stat planner is because I just, like, look at the rules and I go, look, I generally get the gist of what they're trying to achieve, so we should do this.
Right.
Right? So if you imagine someone like that working at council, not ideal.
Yeah.
Definitely
sure.
A good consultant.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you have this, you've been in council too?
Yeah.
But like, you know, you can relate to this exactly.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that. Yeah, definitely.
It's like you have to put a different hat on and just, you know, you're
so,
like.
I am glad that I went to council, but I realized, to be perfectly honest, it wasn't that I disliked council. It was that I was rubbish at it. Like, I worked in a council that was one of the fastest growing councils in WA, and it's called Mandurah. So it's like the equivalent of, say, I don't know, say a Geelong kind of idea.
Yeah.
Not quite as big, but same sort of idea. And it was just me and one other planner. And that was just crazy.
Wow.
And so you would get an application in and you would have a little form and you had to check that the application comply with everything on the form, and internally all you're doing is going, please tell me that there's something that doesn't comply with the form, because at least then I can get this thing off my desk and someone else can deal with it and get all the data, and then I can move on to the next one. And that was how busy it was. It was chaotic, but it was really cool to be involved in that space, because the city centre had just been rezoned to like a higher density. But my problem was that, like, I would spend too long on the front counter with like the little old ladies who would come in and they would be like, oh, can you help me? You know, my land's just been rezoned to blah, and therefore instead of one house, I can apparently now put four on it. What should I do?
Right.
And of course, you're not supposed to help them, like from that perspective.
Yeah.
You're supposed to just say the rules say blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Whereas I just wanted to be like, oh, I want to help you. You know, how can I help you understand what to do better?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a real struggle between over helping.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why I ended up getting back into consulting, because it just was more my nature to look around the rules to get outcomes rather than
solutions.
But that doesn't mean the stat planners are creating problems. Really good stat planners and brilliant stat planners that I love meeting with are stat planners that know their scheme inside out, but actually have the autonomy to make the decision.
Mm.
I think that's one of the pitfalls in Victoria, is that because the Victorian system is so legalistic, there's a concern that if you say something, you'll say something wrong and then you'll get right. taken to VCAT and all that sort of stuff.
So is WA quite different though?
Yeah, there's no third party rights of appeal.
Oh.
Yeah, so essentially, like, if I'm helping that little old lady, I'm helping her, that's fine. Right. And if anyone's going to complain, it's the next door neighbours, that's okay, but that's it.
Right.
So, and that's only if it doesn't comply.
Yeah.
You know. So, but I feel really sorry for young planners when they come out into the system and they're not given that autonomy to make the decisions.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, we talked about this a bit earlier offline, yeah. but there's so many skills in planning that aren't planning skills.
Yeah.
And that's overwhelming.
That's right. I didn't get to finish telling you the story. So a girl called Phoebe. Phoebe was the National Young Planner Rep board director for PIA. And so I'm the Victorian PIA board director. And Phoebe did this amazing body of work about emerging planners.
Okay.
So...
For reference to our international listeners, PIA is Planning Institute of Australia.
Yes, sorry. Like RTPI in... Where is it? In the UK and NZPI in New Zealand, API in America, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So many moons ago, I was one of the first National Young Planner Reps for Western Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And that was insane. So I have this amazing group of friends across Australia.
Oh, cool.
It's so good. Pia was so good for that and is still so good for that. Phoebe was talking about the fact that young planners, so this sort of cohort that I used to exist or be part of, they're up to five years out of your first PIA accredited degree. And young planners, you know, there's particular courses that you can go do and there's a bit of a support network and all that stuff. But what happens when you finish at your 5 years?
Yeah.
And what she flagged was that during those first 5 years, sort of you go through uni and then you come out and you're a grad and you've got your 5 years of sort of learning and you're writing permits and doing structure plans, you're doing site visits and consultation, whatever it is that you're doing, you're getting exposure to as much planning stuff as you can and it's more like hard skills and then you're almost at the end of 5 years and you're left going, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And she wrote this paper about emerging planners and the soft skills that emerging planners needed.
Right.
So she created this term, but it was all around like communication.
Mm-hmm.
It was around business skills. It was around networking, business development, finance management, all the stuff that in our office that I teach all the guys because they're all part of a small business. So I want them to feel as if it's part of their business.
Right.
That skill set is actually quite a good skill set to teach planners because it doesn't matter if you work in local government, state government or consulting, it's a good skill.
Are the best things that are going on for Melbourne right now?
Mm-hmm.
Or what are the things that are like kind of going, you know, you kind of
want
to change? Yeah. And I think it's interesting because a lot of the listeners are, you know, students or people that are really just interested in maybe taking, you know, urban planning as their studies.
Yeah.
Or just interested in general in, you know, what's happening.
Okay, so I will give my answer and then yours will be more inspirational.
Yeah, you came up with the inspirational.
Yeah, he's really good at that. This will give him time to think about that inspirational answer. I can be the filler.
What happens if we have the same answer?
No, we won't. So I was on the State Planning Policy Advisory Committee, like, I don't know, 3 years ago or 4 years ago. Amazing experience, by the way. If you ever get a chance to be on an advisory committee, totally go for it. And I was the junior, so I was literally felt like I was taking the minutes the whole time. Anyway, as part of that, we were asked by the minister of the day to have a look at planning reform.
Mm-hmm.
That was exciting because like it had happened maybe 10 or 15 years before, but this was a new tranche of it.
Right.
So cool. And I was so invigorated by it. And we talked to pretty much every council and
cool.
It was great. Anyway, and then the minister, the politics being politics, the, you know, I think the Liberal government got out and the Labor government got in, different minister. So the work that we did got shelved, which is fine. I didn't sort of realise that's what happened, but that was fine. And then more recently, it's been really funny to see pretty much the same recommendations come out again, just like...
Yeah, because they're doing...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's literally the same stuff. It was funny. We were like, you should call it the planning, oh my God, the PPF, the planning policy framework. And they're like, hey, we should call it the PPF. But I mean, that's totally fine. And that's the way it's supposed to go. And I'm glad that those recommendations that came out of the, it makes it feel like all that work was worth it. But I definitely think that one of the things we get stuck on with planning is we try and do like reform, but then we often don't do enough like broad reaching reform.
Right.
And we get a little bit stuck in the nitty gritty of like maybe, you know, particular definitions or one particular part that doesn't work. And we spend ages like fixing that wee bit. And look, definitely the most recent reforms are great and they've definitely improved the system and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I just think for me, that's an administrative exercise and not really what planning should be about.
Yeah.
But it feels like it's taken up a whole lot of planners' time to get to a particular point. So.
And so then is it more about like method, I guess, rather than outcomes? Like it focuses on...
As in that's what it is and it shouldn't be?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I quite like planning systems. There's something in it that just makes me go, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I don't think it's what as a society we need to be focusing on. But anyway, so that's one example. And then maybe a little bit more innovative is, so we've got all this growth going on, right? And so Melbourne's going gangbusters. And last year was, you know, apparently the same rate of growth that we had in the gold rush days, you know, like insane. And there's a particular position about, I'm quite passionate about creating homes for people. And I think one of the things we get a bit stuck on as planners is we, particularly when we're going through uni, and I talk to my students about this, we definitely have to better utilize our land and our services and our infrastructure, because the more we sprawl, that's just rubbish. And people then live further and further out and they don't have access to public transport and services and all that sort of stuff. But I also think there's a predisposition, particularly when you go through uni, to think that living on the outskirts is rubbish.
Right.
And I'm deliberately not looking at Kim because he doesn't agree with me on this, but that's fine. But like, I grew up in the Greenfields equivalent in Perth, and it was quite sort of community oriented, and you could walk to your local shops and you could cycle around and feel quite safe and you know, walk on the local streets and do all that sort of stuff. So I am okay, and I feel quite happy and quite proud that I do structure plans and subdivisions in Greenfields, because I think it does create communities. Anyway, there you go. There's my rant. Go, Kimbo. What's your opinion?
Do you want me to start with the good things or the bad things?
It's up to you. I mean, I would love to hear both.
I'll do like a, what is it, like a sandwich?
Yeah.
So, I would say what? In the Greenfields, like, it has a higher percentage of open space compared to infill suburbs, right?
Yeah.
What, their targets are like 5% open space in Greenfields? Or is it 10%?
10, 6% active, 4% passive. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So if you can imagine when those suburbs in like 20 to 30 years' time start becoming infill suburbs, they will be quite nice.
Yeah.
And they will be extremely livable, right? So that's a good thing. So it's important to get these suburbs right. When you design them for the first time, it's important to get them right.
Yeah, because
that's
you're actually
that's a positive thing.
And if you really look at it, you're actually planning like for the future, because you know those are the future. You know, we're planning ahead the way. You know, okay, all right.
So
good bread.
Good tasting bread. So like maybe one of the things that I have noticed is there's a lag in what Nicola was saying, not just the services, but also like the community infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So the schools, town halls or community buildings and playgrounds, all that kind of stuff doesn't really get developed until the houses are already there and the people are living. So if there's a way to flip that around, so you have that infrastructure being provided simultaneously. Yeah. So maybe the positive thing to finish with is, I like public transport.
Me too.
Me too.
And I think that's one of the most sustainable ways to get people around to the places that they need to go. And lately I've been like really like, what's the word? Invigorated by the fact that with each major road project, you have a public transport project being announced around about the same time. So like, I know they're just throwing ideas against the wall to see what sticks, but like the suburban rail loop,
yeah.
Yeah.
That is such a cool idea.
Yeah.
And now that they're doing the feasibilities for that, that's really exciting.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We like to finish up by asking for a book recommendation.
Yeah.
Kim, you're up for it?
Does it have to relate to planning?
Well, I know when I can relate to
it. It can be whatever
you
want.
You have a background, that is
or design, or cities, or...
Maybe you should come back to me.
All right. I can go first.
Yeah.
It was so funny because they told me that you guys were going to ask this. So, I always think that I'm going to have heaps of time to read books, and I never have any time, so I just buy lots of books, and they will sit around my house. Anyway, I read this book at pretty close to starting niche, like it had just started and I was reading it, and it's called Delivering Happiness, and it's by Tony, and his last name is H-S-I-E-H. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that. But it's so cool. It's this guy that was going through uni. It's written in a really colloquial way, so it's really easy to read and you can just devour it really quickly. But he's going through uni and he was really clever, and I think he came up with... sort of Google Ads kind of idea. And then he sold that and made lots of money.
Yeah.
And then he tried to figure out what to do from there. And anyway, the long and short of it is that in this book, he talks about ways to make people happy at work. And it's not about, you read lots of books and they're all like, oh, you have staff and you should make them happy by doing X, Y, and Z. This is more around how to be happy in your work.
Yeah.
And he talks about like, when people are young and they started a new workplace, it's really cool to like set up almost like a pipeline of process type things that they can do to get to a point.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I did that. So I set up like a pipeline so my town planners can get from grad to senior.
Right.
And it's like formal business stuff that they do. So there's courses, like they have to do a neighborhood character course with John Glossop and whatever. But then they also have to like go out on site with, Costell & Webley, so do civil engineering, or they might do like a surveying with MNG, whatever. There's all these different consultants that I've managed to sweet talk into like taking them on different things so they can understand what all those different roles are. And it's a sequence of things like that. And yeah,
that's really cool.
It's super cool. So this book is the bomb.
Yeah.
And I gave it to Celia to read, and I swear she's using it as a doorstop. She still hasn't opened it.
Oh, no.
So I just like give her little hints and tips out of it occasionally, and she thinks I'm amazing because I know.
Yeah, maybe you don't want to share the book, and then you get
it. Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool.
So it's not quite planning, but you know.
I mean, we cannot thank you enough for just having us. We had the best experience as the first time in a planning office.
Oh, I'm so glad.
It is really, really nice. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks.
This has been amazing.
Hopefully
thanks
we'll talk,
coming.
You know, more time.
Yeah, thanks for coming and sharing our niche one.
No, that was awesome. That was pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah,
you can say that. Yeah, by the way, you can say that you have your own wine, right?
Yeah, I know, but it's not really true.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can cut that part.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a lot of fun.
I hope you guys enjoyed it.
We definitely did.
Yeah, we definitely did, and it was a good insight of the whole planning life.
I know.
So,
thank you so much to Nicola and to Kim for all the time you spent with us and all of your wisdom.
all the wisdom and...
And the whole team for welcoming us and making us feel like we belong.
like we were part of that studio.
Yeah.
So, thank you guys. I hope you enjoy this episode too, and everyone who's listening, I hope you guys enjoyed.
Get in touch.
Exactly. Get in touch. Let us know whatever you want to, what is of your interest. We can talk about it, or someone that wants to collaborate, or someone wants to be part of the podcast.
We're open.
We're really open. So,
yeah, I guess we should just
finish it off. And
so, thanks to Mohammed Abdelkarim, as always, for our beautiful art, and thank you to Kevin Kwan for our music. And we'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
Cheers.
Bye. 1, 2, 3, 4!